Father, we just want to thank you for the privilege of gathering together and doing it in your name. And Lord, we believe that whenever we gather together in your name, that you are there with us, that you want to speak to us. And Lord, that's exactly what we're asking tonight, is that you would speak to us. Lord, that you would inspire us, that you would motivate us. Lord, if necessary, correct us. And so, Lord, we just want to lift this evening into your hands, every aspect of it. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay, well, maybe I'll start off by maybe giving a little update on Mexico, the Church of Mexico. I think some of you know that when I was there in February, the church was kind of going through a difficult time. We had a key family that decided to leave, and they've been having some marriage problems. And I think, I don't even really want to kind of go into all the details, but unfortunately, when they left, they started talking to a lot of other people, and it just sort of, it really confused a lot of people, and I think really demotivated everyone. However, you know, this past Sunday, there was a, you know, we had a lot of visitors, which is good, a lot of visitors that I think will probably that very likely be coming back, and so I think that was just very encouraging to everyone. One of the things that Pepe gave me a call, I guess, a day or so before I left to go down, and he wanted me to know that they had had a robbery, a burglary inside the house that we stay at and that the church stays at. And of course, you know, that's, you know, in Mexico City, you know, there are burglaries, there's breaking ins, and so all that can be a little bit scary. And I guess the people who broke in, there is a little bit mysterious, because they broke into our house, tore open drawers, all sorts of things, ransacked plates, everything, but they didn't take anything, which is kind of unusual, because Pepe has his office there. He has thousands of dollars worth of equipment and products that he sells. They didn't touch any of it. And then from, I guess, our house, they climbed the wall into the neighbor's house. And in this particular house, they took a lot. They took computers, they took electronics, they broke into a safe and stole about 90,000 pesos. They stole documents. You know, it was just very devastating to this particular family. And this man actually works for a senator there in Mexico City. And what was kind of really odd was they broke in on a Sunday afternoon between 4 o'clock and 8 o'clock in the afternoon. And they were obviously professionals, because they could break into safes. They left no fingerprints, and they exactly kind of knew what they were doing. So, of course, you know, we get there 2 days later, and we're sleeping in the house, and, of course, you know, we're kind of wondering, okay, how's this going to be? But the good thing is that because this man works for a senator, and I think he's the senior advisor to this senator, the attorney general there in Mexico assigned 24/7 police protection around the house. So there were times last week when we were there, there were as many as 4 patrol cars, sometimes 3 or 4 policemen in each one, and they were patrolling up and down the street. The first night we were there, Pepe had a private security guard, you know, there within the garden where we were. So anyway, that's kind of the setting we kind of moved into, you know. But we slept great, didn't we? We weren't worried. Yeah, because we're because we're eating at midnight every night. That's right, I know. That's right. But the good thing in all this, and this is, you know, it's kind of funny because on the way down there in the plane, I just felt like the Lord gave me a passage from James about how God uses difficulties in our life. And of course, there's a lot of passages like that. And I just felt like that's what I should share. And the first night we got there, Pepe, of course, because of the robbery, he got to meet these neighbors. And they don't have any children. It's a younger couple. He's about 40. She's in maybe her 30s, mid-30s, I guess. And it turns out that she's a Christian. And has been kind of looking for a church nearby. Yeah, been praying for a church. Well, of course, the church that we have is right across the wall. I mean, you know, there's no excuses for traffic, you know, which is usually the standard excuse there in Mexico City. But her husband, no, he was kind of close to it. But because Pepe had been reaching out to him a little bit, and he introduced us to him, he finally said, okay, we're going to come Sunday. And sure enough, they did. They really liked it. Afterwards, they came up. They wanted prayer. We prayed for him. He had tears in his eyes. Then Monday night, it seems like a lot longer than that, but I guess it was just this past Monday night, Pepe and Claudia and Judy and I and this Hector and Deanna, we went out to a restaurant and we talked about the Lord for hours. We didn't get back until, 12:30, 12:45, something like that. And of course, our flight was the next morning. So I think that's an example of how I think God uses difficulties they've been robbed pretty seriously, but yet, Monday night, he was saying he's so thankful that this has happened because he got to meet us, you know, Pepe and Claudia, and he hasn't made a decision to follow the Lord yet, but he knows God's calling him. And he heard the gospel completely. And he said, you know, I know God's speaking to me. I know he's speaking to me. So that I think that's just one example of someone this past week that God seems to be working in their lives. And it's just very encouraging. But anyway, you can pray for him, Hector and Deanna. And
pray for her too.
Yeah, because she is super excited that he is all of a sudden interested in Christianity. I mean, she's like, you know, jumping up and down and telling me, you got to do this now, you got to do this. And Judy's trying to say, you know, kamate, you know. But anyway, it's kind of exciting. And we had a number of other people who, I think Sunday morning, I think I counted something like 6 or 7 people there who did not know the Lord. And of course, one of the things we did was just really share the gospel. And people really seem to respond. This was kind of an unusual thing, too. There's a lady that came up to be prayed for after the meeting. And she was very moved by the whole meeting that we had. And afterwards, someone told me, they asked me if I remember her. And I said, no, I think this is the first time I've met her. And they said, no. When we lived in Mexico in the early 90s, so 17, 18 years ago, she came to our home once, and she actually received the Lord in our home. And I guess she's been following the Lord, and somehow she ended up coming with a friend, and she got to see us again. I thought that was just a real... interesting. I still can't remember her or remember her coming to know the Lord, but she seemed to kind of remember our house and everything, so I'm sure it's true. So anyway, but I think overall it was just a very good trip, very encouraging. Judy, do you have anything to kind of add to that, to the trip?
I really felt it was God's time for me to be a person.
Yes. Amen. Yeah, that's on Saturday morning. Yeah.
She was very encouraged that it's a new beginning, and she feels excited about being wholehearted and committed to God.
Right. Right.
And that was really encouraging.
Yeah, and Maria Esther is, she was one of five people in the worship team, and this family and their extended family, when they left, they had four out of the five. They had the other four people were part of this family. So all of a sudden, there's no worship team except for Maria Esther. And she's kind of quiet, but very sincere. But she's agreed to, okay, I'll prepare and to, you know, lead the congregation in worship. And she actually did a great job. She's just the sincerity. Her heart for Jesus, her heart to want to worship, I think it's just contagious. And, you know, we don't have the drums and the keyboard and all that right now. We just have basically her with her guitar. But it was just, there's just a real sweet spirit of worship there Sunday. It was a very good trip. So anyway, if anyone would like to kind of know more, I'll be glad to share with you a little bit later. Okay? Also, you could just be praying too. Many of you know this, but in a couple weeks, I'm going to be going to Paris. I'll be going just by myself this time. It's been 3 years since any of us have been there. And for those of you who maybe have joined us in the last few years, back about 6-7 years ago, we really felt like God spoke clearly that He wanted us to be involved in Paris, and in particular, in this particular part of Paris called Saint-Germain-en-Laye. And in fact, I think it was about 5 years ago that there's a group, I think there's like 30-something people from Emmanuel Fellowship went over for a week to 2 weeks. I think there were about 8 or 9 people. We stayed the whole month of May. I think it was in 2006, I believe. Just prayer walking in the streets. God led us to a lot of just divine appointments as far as relationships. And then for various reasons, it seems like the last 3 years, nothing has happened. We just haven't felt a release to go and to continue the relationships. And so really I'm going basically just to kind of just get a pulse on what God is doing and trying to visit as many people. I'm already emailing people and starting to line things up with people. I'm going to be there about 8 days. I'll be there 7 days, but counting travel, I'll be a little bit longer that I'll be gone. But that's going to be the end of April, beginning of May. And please be praying that God will just really lead and give us clarity as to where we go from here. Okay? And when I get back, I'll give an update, especially to the Koinonia, probably to the church on Sunday morning. Okay? Okay. Well, listen, I just want to take a little bit of time this evening and continue what we started in March. And in March, at this joint gathering of the Koinonia, we began doing a study that I'm calling the Worker and Sound Doctrine. And we're looking at about 10 verses in 1 and 2 Timothy and in Titus. And Titus and Timothy, what do they have in common? They were workers, weren't they? And they helped serve with Paul. And Paul entrusted a lot of responsibility to them. And these two workers were used tremendously in the first church. Yet, they're very normal people like us. And one of the main themes in these letters to Timothy and Titus was an exhortation to study and to live by God's word. They were admonished to stay true to sound doctrine. And I believe that God has a lot to say to us 20 centuries later, you know, about remaining true to sound doctrine too. And when we say sound doctrine, we're not just talking about theological things that we're supposed to believe in, but we're talking about spiritual truth. Last time, we looked at three verses. We looked at 1 Timothy 4:6. In fact, why don't we kind of take a look at 1 Timothy real quick. 1 Timothy 4:6. This is just a little bit of review. And in this, Timothy was encouraged to be constantly nourished on the words of sound doctrine. And it required discipline. And then a couple of verses up above, actually in verse 1, it says, "But the Spirit explicitly says that in later times, some," it doesn't say many, but it says some, "will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons." And we're living in the latter days. And we are seeing this across the body of Christ a lot, that there are people who are falling away. And they are listening to, they're paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. So we need to be, committed and constantly nourished to the words of sound doctrine. So we talked about that. Then we went to chapter 6, to verse 3 and 4. And there, we saw that sound doctrine leads, it always leads to godliness, doesn't it? And a lot of times, some people, they get caught up in theological speculation, and they think they are really wise, but if they're promoting something that's not leading to godliness, then they're missing it. In fact, this same passage, there's some very stern words to those who advocate a different doctrine. And one of the things I've seen in the body of Christ in the last 15, 20 years, there's quite a few people, or there's a lot of spiritual tangents that are built upon speculation, and they've gotten away from just the basics and the foundations of the scriptures. Then in 2 Timothy chapter 1, we looked at verses 13 and 14, and it talked about retaining or holding fast to sound words. But again, this sound words, sound doctrine, you know, is a theme that's all the way through 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. And that's what we're looking at. Because as workers, we need to be constantly nourished, and we need to be growing in sound doctrine. Because there's going to be we're going to encounter people who are going to be coming with different doctrines than that which is in the scriptures. And we need to be able to, in a loving, gentle way, but in a strong way, be able to address these things. Okay? Okay, tonight I want us to look at a couple more verses. The first one is in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And let me read it, and it's up here as well. "The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Now, it says, the things that you've heard from me. What things is he talking about? Well, if we go back to chapter 1, we see it's, well, like in verse 13 of chapter 1, which we saw last month. It says, retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Verse 14, guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. There's a treasure of Jesus Christ and sound doctrine, good solid teaching that's based on the biblical teaching. It's a treasure. And he says, you've heard that from me. And here in verse 2, it says, the things that you've heard from me, this spiritual truth, now you need to entrust these to faithful men who'll be able to teach others also. So, the sound words, the sound doctrine that we have a responsibility then to entrust to others. Now, the key word there is entrust. What does it mean to entrust something with someone? It's more than just teaching. It may include teaching, but it's more than that. It means to pass on, like you're passing on a treasure. You know, it's a spiritual treasure. And we're to entrust to others all that we've learned, all that's been passed on to us in the Spirit. We're to pass it on to someone else. Not just give them a book, not just give them CDs to listen to, but somehow there has to be an impartation of spiritual truth. This passing on of spiritual truth to other people is really the key here. And again, it can't happen just by giving them a piece of paper. Now, we have, you know, this foundations and foundations for Christian living. Is that what it's called? Or something like that. You know, the seven lessons. That's a tool. But that in itself does not pass on spiritual truth. So how do we do it? Well, it may include giving information, but it also means praying for people that somehow they will catch it. See, there's spiritual truth is something you catch. All of a sudden it's revealed and you think, oh, wow, I understand now. And that needs to be passed on. We have to pray it. We have to pray that people catch it, that it's imparted. We also have to model it. We need to kind of share how it's changed our life. You know, tomorrow and next Sunday, we're talking about the power of his resurrection. That's a good example. The resurrection could be something that's, oh yeah, I believe in the resurrection. It's a historical truth. But then there's also catching, oh, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is what it means. Oh, all of a sudden it gives me power. It enlightens me. It transforms my life. True spiritual truth, sound doctrine is something that changes our life. It transforms us. It leads us to godliness. If it doesn't change our life, it's not being imparted to someone else. And so somehow we've got to learn to pass on spiritual truth to others. And I think this is what Paul's telling Timothy. He's saying, Timothy, all the things that you are so excited about that have changed your life, the sound doctrine, the spiritual truth, now you take it and you make sure that other people get it. And not only that, but he says, entrust it to faithful men and women too. Okay. In the generic way, I guess. Faithful men who will what? Be able to teach others also. People who will be able to pass it on to others and impart to others. And that's what we are called to do. with this sound doctrine, these sound words. This verse, the things it says, the things which you have heard from me, that's referring to spiritual truth, sound doctrine that changes our lives. We're to entrust it to others. Entrust like we would entrust a treasure. Try to think of the most precious things that you have, possessions. It may be photos. It may be jewelry that you inherited. I'm not sure what it would be. It might be your snowboard. It might be your tools. If you're, but just try to think about it, and then just multiply it times 100, or 1,000, or 1,000,000. That's the treasure we've received. But if you had a lot of money, and you had to entrust it to someone, would you look for a faithful person? Yeah. You know, I wouldn't just kind of just go to Walmart and say, hey, I'm going on a trip. I need to leave about $1,000,000 with someone. Who would like to kind of volunteer for that? Yeah. You know, no, I would be looking around. I'd be saying, okay, Manuel, I trust him. He's a faithful person. I want to get together with Manuel. And I want to say, Manuel, listen, I'm going to be gone for about 3 weeks. I got $1,000,000 here. Or maybe it's something that's worth $1,000,000. I want you to take good care of it, okay? It's a treasure. That's the type of attitude we need to have. And also, when we receive it, it's a treasure. The neat thing about this treasure is that when I pass it on to somebody else, I don't lose it. You know, if I had $1,000 and I gave $1,000 to Manuel, that means I'd be $1,000 poor, right? You know? But with this treasure, I can give it to Manuel, and not only do I keep what I have, but it actually multiplies. It's kind of like the loaves and the fish. And then if I pass it on some to Anna, it multiplies more within me. It's almost like I can't give it away fast enough. The more I give it away, it just keeps multiplying within me. That's the treasure we're talking about. And then Manuel goes to Chewy, and he passes it on. And guess what? His treasure just gets bigger. And then Chewy goes to Montevale and entrusts more. And it just, that's kind of the way or Hector, that's right. Yeah, that's right. And it just keeps multiplying in all of us. That's spiritual, true spiritual truth is that way. And that's what God has called us to do. There's enough to give around to everyone. And the more we give, the more it just builds up within us. And so this is what it's talking about here. We have a responsibility, these sound words, to pass it on to others. In fact, this is God's pattern for spreading sound doctrine. This is God's pattern for spreading words of life. Pass it on one at a time with the idea that they'll do the same. Entrust it. Now, in some ways, that seems like a real slow way to do it. But it's the biblical way. And it's something all of us have been called to do. In James 1, it talks about receive the word of God that's implanted. Because God's word is more than just information. It implants itself. It roots it. Colossians 3 talks about the word of Christ richly dwelling within us. That's the way God's word is. So this verse here, 2 Timothy 2:2, he's saying, entrust to others everything that you're receiving. And guess what? It'll kind of keep increasing in you. So the sound words that we get. Okay, let's take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Like I said, there's 10 of these verses in these really 8-10 pages. Verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman or a worker who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. We need to learn to accurately handle the word of truth. Now, unfortunately, there are many people who don't accurately handle the word of God. And I'm talking about even famous preachers and people who are on these tele-evangelists on television. Sometimes, and I don't even listen to them, but every now and then I'll catch someone on the radio or I'll be at someone's house and I'll see something. It's amazing how sometimes people distort the word of God. They twist it. People use God's word to prove their own theories, their own ideas, their own desires. They minimize God's word. They come up with all sorts of strange ideas. I know that there's one example. Is there's a man that's pretty famous. Probably a lot of you probably have heard of him. He's probably not as famous now as he was 10, 15 years ago. But he started coming up with some very strange teachings, like that God's destiny for all of us is that we're all going to be amphibians. And the reason is because Adam and Eve were amphibians. And they were amphibians because they must have been to be able to name all the fish in the sea and all the animals. They must have been able to kind of go in and live underwater, and then they can kind of live up here, and that God's going to restore us back. Well, I mean, that's just weird, you know? Now, I'm sure there's going to be some surprises for all of us, and that may be one of them, but there's not enough scriptural basis to be making that a point of teaching. And we need to be approved. We need to handle accurately the word of truth. As this young woman is. She's got that Santa Biblia, you know, there. And I think it's more necessary today than even 15, 20 years ago, because there's more and more strangeness that's floating around in the body of Christ. And I think, like 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. It's doctrines of demons. You know, I talked to someone about a month ago that was kind of telling me all sorts of strange ideas. I mean, this is someone that, not someone in this church, but someone that at one time I thought was walking with the Lord. And now he's got this strange idea that we're all living this big dream. And all sin is really just part of a dream. And we get reincarnated from one life to another. We may go through a lot of different lives in this big dream. And I'm kind of thinking, as I'm talking to this person, I'm thinking, this is weird. Actually, I kind of said that. You know, I mean, it's just... But we're going to hear more and more of that type of stuff. And we have to be able to accurately handle the word of truth. We need to kind of be able to discern what's right, what's not. We have to be able to, we need to have true understanding. We've got to have insights into God's word. How do we do this? Be diligent. It takes diligence in studying God's word. We will not be able to handle accurately the word of truth by being passive, just by listening on Sunday mornings or house churches or koinonia meetings. It's going to take every one of us studying God's word. Oh yeah, it says this. I wonder what that means. Let me take a look over here. And this is what, salute. we have to learn to be, we've got to be students of God's word. And we have to obey his word. Because one thing about God's word is, when he speaks to us, we have a choice. We can either obey, or we can say, oh, that's kind of good, and just kind of sit on it. If we obey it, guess what? God speaks to us more. If we sit on it and don't do anything about it, all of a sudden, God's not speaking quite as much. So part of studying scriptures, part of studying the scriptures is, as He speaks to us, we obey. And as we talked about last time, a barometer of sound doctrine is that it changes our life. If it just tickles our imagination, then it's not really sound doctrine. So we are to be workmen, workers who are not going to be ashamed. An implication there is that we will be ashamed if we can't handle the word of truth. In other words, we are just, I've met people who I thought were pretty strong Christians, and they've come back and they say, oh, I went to this one meeting, and oh, they're talking about this, and they're talking about that, and oh, it's just so neat. And I'm kind of thinking, you need to have better discernment on that. That's just kind of way out there. That's not in the scriptures. Well, I could give a lot of examples. I had someone probably 6 months ago. They were telling me, oh, God is, again, someone not here, God's been working so much in my life. I was real excited. And then they started talking about, yeah, I went to this meeting and I got prayed for. And, you know, and as I was praying, I had my hands out and I saw all this gold dust. And they started talking about all these things that were happening. Not once did they talk about how their life was being changed. We need to be accurately handling the word of truth. We've got to be diligent. And Paul was telling Timothy, who is already in full-time ministry, be diligent to be approved by God as a worker, as a workman. Okay? Okay, let's look at one more. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 14 through 17. You, however, continue in the things which you have learned. By the way, that's a phrase that's repeated all through the Timothys. The things which you've learned. We saw it in 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. We saw it in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. The things which you've learned, pass them on to others. So he's still kind of talking about it. Continue in the things you've learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. What do we know about Timothy in his childhood? Anyone know anything about him? From this, we know that he received from childhood the scriptures, right? We know anything about his parents? Okay, his mom was a believer and was actually a Jewish believer in Jesus. And so was his grandmother. And his father was not a believer. You know, but it's obvious that the mother and the grandmother were in this young Timothy as his child. They just kept pouring into him, you know, the richness of God's word. And it was changing him. And so Paul is saying, don't continue in the things that you've heard. And that from childhood, you've known the sacred writings. And what does it say that these sacred writings do? Verse 15. What do they give us? They give us wisdom, don't they? Do any of us need wisdom in this life? Sure we do. Every day. The scriptures, leave that. Give us the wisdom that we need. And then it goes on in verse 16. It says, all scripture is inspired by God. Now, literally, that means breathed by God. In other words, the scriptures, they have the breath of God on them. He breathed life into them. There's a lot of good literature that we can learn from in the world. Shakespeare is good. There's all of us probably have favorite writers that just inspire us. But there's only one thing that can impart life. And that's this, the scriptures. It imparts life to us. It's not just a belief system. It is life. And he's saying all scripture is life. It's been breathed upon by God. And therefore, it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Okay, let's just stop right there. That's both for us. You know, it teaches us. It reproves us. It corrects us. It trains us in righteousness. And also, as we impart it to others, pass it on to others, like entrust it to others, it's going to correct others. It's going to teach others. It's going to train others in righteousness. That's what Scripture does. It changes us. All these things talk about changing. It teaches us how to live a life in the kingdom of God. It teaches us how to pray, how we can draw close to Him. It teaches us about the kingdom of God. Reproof. Do we need reproof sometimes? Yeah. Reproof is like, no, this is the wrong road. You need to be going this way. The scriptures can do that. It can correct us. And it trains us in righteousness, in righteous living. Again, it's not just accumulation of knowledge. I think last time I talked about this man that I knew, about the time we got married, that he knew so much of the Bible, but yet his life wasn't really showing it. But he knew a lot, and he prided himself in knowing a lot. But true, sound doctrine, it changes us. It helps us in the road to righteousness. And that's what the scriptures do. It does it in us first. And then as we share it with others and we impart it to others, it changes them. Well, there's a lot of examples I could give. But, you know, I think all of us have been a product of that at one time, where all of a sudden God's word was changing us. That's what we need to do to others. We need to impart it. And then it says, I like this last verse, verse 17. Why? So that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. There's times in the work of God that we can feel very inadequate. But you know what? If the scripture, if we're constantly nourished on the words of sound doctrine, we become adequate to be the workers that God's called us to. And we're equipped. We have everything we need for every good work. And there's a lot of good works that God wants us to do. But God's word is what does it. In fact, in just the verses we've looked at today, we've talked about if we want to be approved by God, if we want to be a workman that's not ashamed, if we want to be adequate as a man of God or a woman of God, if we want to be equipped for every good work, every one of these things has to do with what? Our having God's word being changing us. It's an ongoing thing. And as we do, we're corrected, we're reproved, we're trained in righteousness. You know, that trained in righteousness, another translation is we are molded or shaped by God's word. Have we been shaped or molded by God's word? Hopefully we have. So those who are approved of God, those who are equipped for every good work, those who are adequate, are the ones who are immersed in the word of truth. Let's kind of conclude. What are some of the things we've kind of seen? First of all, we are called to pass on or to entrust to others spiritual truth or sound doctrine. It's a calling we have. We've got to be diligent in handling the word of truth and therefore show ourselves approved to God. And third, we've seen that Scripture enables us to be adequate and equipped for His work. Scripture is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for shaping us or training us in righteousness. And so, just like we were exhorted last month, and just like we're going to do again next month, we want to exhort ourselves. We've got to be men and women of the Scriptures, of sound doctrine. Amen?